Genealogy by Tim, Season 3, Episode 2, recorded February 26, 2023. Got only a few short updates this month, but each is pretty important and may change the way I do research. First, Jenkintown Public Library has canceled its subscription to Ancestry.com. I've since moved my own personal research to Ancestry Classroom. The Genealogical Society's second special interest group was another success. And I've discovered the baptism records of Hugendubler immigrants. All that coming up on Genealogy by Tim. First item on the agenda today is Jenkintown Library canceled its subscription to Ancestry.com. I had been using Ancestry.com through Jenkintown Library since I moved to Jenkintown in 2020, and not long after I moved to Jenkintown, COVID hit. Physical access to libraries was put on hold for quite some time, but Ancestry.com was kind enough to let folks access its service through library websites at home, and Jenkintown Library provided that service well after many other libraries stopped providing that service. So I was disappointed earlier this month to find that the remote access link was no longer functional, and I went into the library and talked to a lady at the desk who told me that they couldn't pay for the subscription anymore, so I couldn't even go to the library to access Ancestry. The librarian referred me to other nearby libraries such as Elkins Park Library and Abington Library. However, some attendees at the Genealogical Society's special interest group this month suggested that the outage may be countywide for Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. This is working on the theory that Ancestry.com is paid for at the county level at public libraries in Montgomery County. I would like to go to some other libraries this month and test that theory, and I'll let you know what I discover. In the meantime, I discovered that Ancestry Classroom is available through School District of Philadelphia internet connections, and I happen to work as a teacher in the School District of Philadelphia, so it's no trouble at all for me to spend a few extra minutes after work typing in some searches. Ancestry's full suite is available through the school district, and that includes Ancestry Classroom, which I believe is similar to Ancestry Library, but includes some lesson planning materials. Also, Fold 3's Library Edition and the non-publisher extra edition of newspapers.com. So, there's a lot to work with there at the school, so I may be putting some extra time in there. One of the first major discoveries that I made through Ancestry Classroom was the baptism records of three Hugendubler immigrants. And this is interesting to me because it's the first time I've been able to get anyone from the Lancaster contingent of my family tree back to their motherland. The baptism records were for Anna, John, and Nicholas Hugendubler. John Hugendubler is my direct ancestor and is my qualifying ancestor for membership in Sons of the American Revolution. He was born in 1745. His older sister Anne was born in 1744, and their younger brother Nicholas was born in 1747. They came to America with their parents, Nicholas and Maria, in 1755 on the ship Osgood. The baptism records themselves were located in Bubendorf, Basel, Switzerland, so that gives us a good idea where the family was before they came to America. Now, the Ancestry.com record for the baptisms linked back to FamilySearch.org, so I was able to see that those records were attached to the family tree over there. Not only that, FamilySearch.org provided original images of the baptism records to affiliate libraries, and the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania is an affiliate library of FamilySearch.org. So while I was at the special interest group yesterday, I was able to download original scans of these 18th century records. The collections within FamilySearch.org that contain this information were Switzerland baptisms, 1491 to 1940, and the one that actually contained the images was Switzerland Catholic and Reformed Church records, 1418 to 1996. So those are must-see FamilySearch record collections if you have Swiss ancestors. Last bit of information I have for you this month is what went on at the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania's second special interest group meeting, which took place yesterday, February 25th. Attendance was a little bit lighter than it was for the first meeting back in January, but I was able to meet and network with a couple very interesting people. One of them, Marion Rosenbaum, is a local historian who is currently writing a book about the history of Jenkintown. The other person I met was Kathy Donahue, who was the secretary of the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania, and she was really excited to have a teacher, namely me, join the group. One of her goals is to secure funding for certain Genealogical Society projects. By promoting them as for the good of the community, and one way to accomplish that is to get the school students involved. So she was excited to meet me, and it's kind of timely that it's happening as I'm discovering Ancestry Classroom and I'm considering creating a genealogy club at the school. So I think there's some things we can do for the general good of the community, and I look forward to working with Kathy on that. She was also excited that I expressed interest in scanning as a way to volunteer for the society. I showed her some of my old restorations work. The treasurer, Frank Strop, was considering having scanning parties at the society, in which members would bring scanners and then we'd all sit around the table scanning various documents. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. Frank's tip of the month was check out Civil War pension files. These may be obtained from the National Archives in Washington, D.C., either through a form request or by visiting the archive in person. Now, I've been down to the archives myself, and I've personally stood above these documents and photographed them one after the other. This is how I was able to confirm that my paternal grandmother's name, Harrison, was originally Pickersgill several generations back. But in Frank's presentation, he mentioned a relatively new initiative by the National Archives, and that is citizen scanning. And under this initiative, citizens are encouraged to use the high-quality scanners at the National Archives to scan their ancestors' Civil War pension files and let the National Archives keep a copy and also take a copy home with them on a USB drive. Now I'm interested to go back to the National Archives and re-scan the pension files that I originally photographed. The photographs are a little grainy. I'd like to see a higher quality scan of those. So participation in the National Archives Citizen Scanning Initiative may be in my future. Lastly, while at the special interest group, I shared with the group my own number one family history brick wall, as they say. And that is, whatever happened to William Pickersgill Harrison's father? Now, if you take my paternal grandmother, Joan Harrison, and follow her paternal line all the way back three generations, her father, grandfather, and great-grandfather were all named William Pickersgill Harrison. The original William Pickersgill Harrison was born in Philadelphia in 1846, but I know very little about his parents. A little while ago on the podcast, I did a profile of his mother, Sarah Calvert, but his father is still a mystery. Sarah Calvert married George Pickersgill in 1844, but by 1849, Sarah had remarried a Hugh Young, and in 1850, Sarah, young William Pickersgill, and Hugh Young are together in the 1850 census. But it really isn't known to me what happened to Sarah's first husband, George, or where he came from. Although the Pickersgill name is very rare in this part of the state, research has turned up about 3 people named George Pickersgill, but it's unclear to me which of them, if any, is my ancestor. One of these George Pickersgills signed an oath of allegiance when he immigrated to America in the 1830s. Another George Pickersgill turned up in the 1840 census in Delaware County. I was able to find tax records on him in the Delaware County Historical Society, but there isn't a whole lot to tie the George Pickersgill of that record to my family. Yet another George Pickersgill lived briefly in the city of Philadelphia around the time of my ancestor, had a child here who died in infancy, and then moved with his wife Martha out to Indiana. So even with all the George Pickersgills floating around the city at that time, it still isn't clear what happened to my ancestor, who married his wife Sarah in 1844 and was out of the picture by 1849. And this brick wall is very interesting to me because George's son, William Pickersgill, who was my grandmother's great-grandfather, changed his name from William Harrison Pickersgill to William Pickersgill Harrison. It is said in his Civil War pension file that he didn't like the name Pickersgill, and that's why he changed it. And I would like to know what he didn't like about the name. Did he not like the name, or did he not like his father? Did his father abandon the family, or did his father fall ill and pass away? This is a mystery that I would like to solve, perhaps with the help of the special interest group at the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania. That's it for this month. I've got a tough couple weeks of work coming up, so I'm not sure what research, if any, I'll get to next month, but you'll definitely be hearing from me one way or the other, so stay tuned. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.